WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports, and now
Talking the News with Noah
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Tuesday, March 19th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Sunshine this morning. Some afternoon clouds, the high 47. Tonight and overnight, cloudy, low 41, and then Wednesday, sun and clouds, a little warmer, high 57. If you're walking out the door with us right now, it is 34 and partly cloudy in Valley Cottage up in Rockland County. It is 32 and clear in Cranberry down in New Jersey. And it is 35, a few clouds outside our Midtown studios. A whole lot to get to as we work our way up to the 6 o'clock hour. Sid and friends in the morning was watching on yesterday as transgender activist, Olympic gold medalist Caitlyn Jenner showed up in Nassau County yesterday to help out the Nassau County executive and his ban on male-born athletes taking part in women's sports. If you haven't been following this story, the Nassau County executive, Bruce Blakeman, put down this executive order that bans transgender athletes who are born male from competing on all-girl teams. And there's been a lot of fuss over this. So Caitlyn Jenner, who, if you, I imagine you must know this story, of course, was formerly Bruce Jenner, the great athlete from the Olympics, transitioned to be a woman. And now he says that Bruce Blakeman is on the right side of this issue, that people who are born men and then transition to be women should not be able to take part in women's sports. He says it's just unfair. So he traveled to Nassau County to back up Bruce Blakeman yesterday.
My fear is that if this woke agenda that's out there, you know, the DEI world that's out there, if this continues, it'll ruin women's sports over the next 10, 20 years. Let's stop it now while we can.
And Caitlyn Jenner claims that most Americans are on his side, that he's looked at studies and it's most studies say this is the right thing to do.
If the left wants to fight this battle on this hill, it's a losing battle. This is an 80-20 issue. 80% of the people out there do not want biological boys in women's sports. It's only 20%. I don't even know who they are.
So Attorney General Letitia James has issued this cease and desist order over the ban. She says it's illegal to discriminate against a person based on their sex or gender identity. And one of the groups that's suing to stop this ban is the Roller Rebels. It's a Long Island roller derby league. And they're at the center of this lawsuit that claims Nassau County's transgender athlete ban violates New York's anti-discrimination laws. Amanda Urena, she's been a blocker on the team for 2 years and has been in the sport for about 7 years. This is roller derby.
We all, I think, really feel like this brings so much more fulfillment to our lives. When I started, I was actually in my 20s and I had a really tough time, and derby, it saved my life. I'm in my 30s now, and that was something that I didn't necessarily see happening.
So the Roller Rebels have been practicing in Seaford since 2005 when the league first started. So their thought is they have somebody on their team who is transgender, and they say they want to protect that athlete, and they're worried about going forward playing against other women roller derby teams in Nassau County, and that's why they filed this lawsuit.
We immediately tried to take action and, you know, make sure that person felt comforted. I just want to skate with people. You know, we will not grow as a league if we're limiting who we can bring on.
The world can be really scary. You should feel safe in sports.
Yeah, so fascinating to watch this. Bruce Blakeman, this is the first ban of this kind in the nation, so you wouldn't be surprised to see that there's some blowback against it. The Roller Rebels' first game of the season isn't until mid-April. The lawsuit is now before a judge. The ban does not apply to men's team with transgender athletes. Again, this is just people who are born as men or as boys who transition to women and then want to play against other women's teams. In the case of playing against co-ed teams, this ban would not exist. It's just men transitioning to women to play in all women's sports. Watching on yesterday, too, as New York City honored longtime popular radio host Jim Kerr, celebrating his 50th anniversary of being on the air here in New York, which is really an incredible feat.
Jim Kerr, Music Radio WLS Chicago.
4 o'clock, and I am Jim Kerr. WLS Music Radio, Tommy James.
So he started off, he was all over the country, but most of his career, as you hear here, has been here in New York.
4:45, 4:30 in the morning, and I'm Jim Kerr. Boy, can I use a cup of coffee right now?
And he did all kinds of shifts, overnight shifts. Now he's been at Q104. Yesterday, Mayor Adams joining his morning show, declaring it Jim Kerr Day.
And I want to find out what you'd like to hear.
Be on the air for 50 years, it says a lot. Your listeners have a great deal of respect for you.
Yeah, longest-running morning radio personality who's sat in with Sid. Sid was honoring him this week.
By the power vested in me, I hereby proclaim that you are an official New Yorker.
Yeah, just about one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. I've had the privilege to chat with him many times over the years, so congratulations to Jim Kerr. Supreme Court Justice Sam Alito claims the Biden administration constantly pestered Facebook.
It's treating Facebook and these other platforms like they're subordinates.
So the high court hearing arguments yesterday on whether the Biden administration's push to remove what they claimed was misinformation on social media platforms violated the First Amendment. Conservative Justice Alito said it was unusual. Federal officials were repeatedly pressuring the social media sites to take down content, adding that he saw a constant pestering of Facebook. Alito says he highly doubted the government would treat print media the same. The case focuses on communications from administration officials urging platforms to police information about the legitimacy of the 2020 election and the COVID pandemic. And by the way, the head of Facebook did not throw water on this. He suggested that, yeah, this had taken place. This going on, by the way, as the Supreme Court is weighing in on social media issues that started in the San Diego neighborhood of Poway.
Can you sue an elected official for blocking you on social media? Long story short, it depends. The Supreme Court ruled on Friday that if the social media account is acting as state action, that is, in an official capacity for its constituents, then yes. If the account is more of a personal account, then no. The tricky part is determining the nature of the account, since some of them serve as a combination of both. One of the two cases that brought this issue to the Supreme Court came from a lower court ruling about the Poway Unified School Board. In that case, members of the board blocked some parents after posting critical comments on the board's public Facebook page. I'm John Fink.
WABC News Time 509. Donald Trump does not have enough cash to obtain an appeal bond that would prevent New York's attorney general from seizing his real estate assets to satisfy that $454 million civil fraud judgment. His lawyers indicated all this in a court filing yesterday. Trump's lawyers say it has proved impossible for the former president to get a bond that would secure the full judgment he faces while he appeals the verdict ordering him to pay it. The filing yesterday asks a panel of five Manhattan appeals court judges to let Trump avoid having to post a bond while he challenges a judge's verdict that he, the Trump Organization, and other defendants committed business fraud. If the panel does not approve that request, Attorney General Letitia James says she will begin seizing some of Trump's properties, and that could happen as soon as March 25th. So we'll watch this story closely. Down to Georgia. The father of murdered Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley says he's angry. Her death is being used politically.
It makes me angry. She was much better than that. She should be raised up for the person that she is.
Jason Riley was on the Today Show, spoke about the aftermath of his daughter's death. Riley allegedly murdered by an illegal migrant on the campus of the University of Georgia as she went out for a jog. Her father calling her an angel, wish he could have protected her. Lakin's family declined an invitation to attend President Biden's State of the Union address earlier this month.
I feel like she's being used somewhat politically.
Yeah, and he's very, very upset about that. Elon Musk says he's almost always sober when he posts on his social media platform X, of course, better known as Twitter.
The tech billionaire discussed his habits in an interview with former CNN journalist Don Lemon. He said he takes a small amount of ketamine prescribed by a doctor to help deal with depression-like symptoms. The drug is often used in hospitals as an anesthetic. Musk says he can't overindulge because he often needs to work 16-hour days. I'm Mark Mayfield.
WABC News Time 5:11. Let's go overseas. Israeli Defense Force is conducting a raid at a hospital in northern Gaza. NBC's Raf Sanchez has more.
The hospital functioning at a very minimal level at this point, but there are thousands of Palestinian civilians sheltering inside, hoping that being on the hospital grounds would offer them at least some modicum of safety.
A spokesperson says the operation conducted at the complex after Hamas fighters regrouped there. This comes as ceasefire negotiations continue in Qatar, although there's little hope there'll be a breakthrough during these rounds of talks. Yesterday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said it was totally inappropriate for Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to call for a new election in Israel, and he vowed to proceed with his attack on Gaza's largest southern city.
Prime Minister Netanyahu says that is the only way to destroy Hamas. The White House has been saying consistently for weeks now that any attack on Rafah would be a disaster without a credible plan to get the more than a million Palestinian civilians who are sheltering in the city out of harm's way.
President Biden concerned about Israel's plan to begin military operations in Rafah. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan telling reporters that Biden spoke with Netanyahu yesterday and shared his concerns.
Gaza's other major cities have largely been destroyed. And Israel has not presented us or the world with a plan for how or where they would safely move those civilians, let alone feed and house them and ensure access to basic things like sanitation.
Biden called on Netanyahu to send officials to Washington in the coming days to hear an alternative approach to targeting Hamas in the city, and he has agreed to do that.
Rafah is a primary entry point for humanitarian assistance into Gaza from Egypt and from Israel. An invasion would shut that down, or at least put it at grave risk, right at the moment when it is most sorely needed.
And Sullivan says that the president, during this call with Netanyahu yesterday, pushed back on notions that questioning military operations in Rafah is questioning defeating Hamas.
The president has rejected, and did again today, the straw man that raising questions about Rafah is the same as raising questions about defeating Hamas. That's just nonsense.
So now what we've been told, a committee has been sent by Prime Minister Netanyahu to Washington to talk with the Biden administration, the Biden White House, about what might take place in Rafah. While we're overseas, even after launching an invasion of Ukraine, Americans don't consider Russia to be the nation's top foe.
The greatest enemy facing the U.S. today, 41% of Americans say it's China. It's the fourth year in a row China has topped the Gallup survey. Russia ranked second at 26%. Iran came in third at 9%. 5% of Americans now say the United States is its own worst enemy, edging out North Korea, which came in with 4%. I'm Rory O'Neill.
WABC News Time 5:15. Let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Good morning, Justin Ellis.
Good morning, Noam Layden. Starting with the NBA in Golden State last night, where Jalen Brunson scored 34 points and Miles McBride, new name, added a career-high 29 to lead the New York Knicks to their fourth straight win, 119-112 over the Warriors. Knicks raced out to an 18-4 lead early in the game and never trailed as they earned just their fifth win in their last 19 meetings against Golden State. Josh Hart had 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists for his fifth triple-double in the past 21 games for New York while playing all 48 minutes. Also, while Dante DiVincenzo added 18 for the Knicks, New York was without forward OG Anunoby, who flew home after his surgically repaired right elbow flared up. Head coach Tom Thibodeau said an MRI came back clean and that Anunoby is day-to-day now. Thibodeau also said that Anunoby is unlikely to rejoin the team for the final game of a four-game trip on Thursday at Denver. Looking ahead to hardwood action tonight, the Nets are back at it, getting set to host the New Orleans Pelicans for a 7:30 p.m. tip-off. In college hoops, first four action set to ease us nicely into March Madness. 16 seeds Wagner and Howard. Howard's a 3.5-point favorite there. We'll meet each other tonight at 6:40 p.m. before 10 seeds Colorado State, 2.5-point favorite against Virginia. They'll butt heads at 9:10 p.m. tonight. The other two first four games are set for tomorrow. No action to get to from last night on the ice, but we do have a triple header to look forward to. Tonight at 7 p.m., the Rangers will host the Winnipeg Jets, while the Devils simultaneously welcome in the Pittsburgh Penguins, all before the Islanders drop a 7:30 puck at home against the Carolina Hurricanes. Quickly to the MLB, where reigning National League Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell's prolonged free agency has officially ended. Snell agreed to a two-year, $62 million deal with the San Francisco Giants yesterday, 10 days before his new team opens its regular season against his former one, the San Diego Padres. Deal includes an opt-out after the first season. And finally, out of the NFL, defensive end Chase Young has signed a one-year, fully guaranteed $13 million deal with the New Orleans Saints. Sources did reveal yesterday. That's your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick. I'm 77 WABC.
Justin, have you filled out your bracket challenge yet?
No, I'm waiting until first four is out of the way, and then I'll fill out the 64 teams, because right now you got 68 teams.
Oh, that is true.
So
all right.
The first four goes, and then, Thursday morning I'll fill it out right before action begins in the 64-team field on Thursday afternoon.
All right. Well, it is the 77 WABC Big Basketball Bracket Challenge. UConn, Houston, Purdue, Duke, who will be this year's tournament champ? Registration is now open. It's free. Go to WABCradio.com/bracket to sign up now for your chance to win $500. For contest rules, please go to WABCradio.com/bracket. WABC News Time 519. The Supreme Court has rejected a request for an emergency injunction from a student group at West Texas A&M seeking to host a drag show.
The latest show was scheduled to take place on the campus in Canyon, Texas, in the Panhandle next week. Last year, school president Walter Wendler banned drag shows from the campus, saying such performances degrade women. A lawsuit over that action is currently before the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, with arguments scheduled for next month. The students petitioned the Supreme Court earlier this month seeking an emergency injunction to allow the show. I'm Brian Shook.
You know, we're just a little less than a month away from tax days. Older adults have a bunch of advantages when it comes to saving tax dollars. Neil Frankel is a longtime CPA here in the city. He says the standard deduction is higher for people who are 65 and older.
So if you're 65, you get $1,850 more in a standard deduction. If you are single, and you get $1,500 more per person if you are married.
Frankel also says one thing that most people don't know concerns the RMD, which is the required minimum distribution that people must take out at age 73 from their retirement accounts.
You can take $100,000 out of that money, okay, instead of paying taxes on it when you get it as the RMD. You can donate it to a charity dollar for dollar get a nice, huge tax break.
Hey, all good advice if you haven't done your taxes yet. Finally, Frankel says if you're 65 and older, the medical insurance premiums taken out when applying for Medicare are deductible as medical expenses. 521. More and more people are moving out of California than into the state.
It's no surprise. Economists say you can blame the high cost of living, especially rent. New data is out from the Census Bureau. It shows among the top 10 counties in the U.S. with the highest level of net out migration, four are in California: L.A., Orange, San Diego, and Santa Clara. The San Diego Union-Tribune assessed the graphs. They show nearly 31,000 people left San Diego County in 2023. That's double the number from 2022. In L.A., more than 56,000 people moved out. I'm Lucinda Kay.
Apparently, reclusive exercise guru Richard Simmons is not actually dying. He sparked a bunch of concern yesterday when he posted, "Please don't be sad, I am dying." 75-year-old would not say what he was dying from, but did add, "Hug those people and children who really care for you." Now his camp says he's fine. The Facebook post apparently was meant to inspire people to treat each day as a gift. Simmons, of course, became this household name, multimillionaire in the 1980s with his fitness videos and books, became the subject of a TMZ documentary after he vanished from the public eye around 2014. He hasn't really been seen since, but a police investigation confirmed that he is not a victim of foul play and that he just, wants away from the spotlight. Marriage rates in the U.S. are back to pre-pandemic levels.
New government data shows there were just over 2 million marriages in the U.S. in 2022, roughly 6.2 marriages per 1,000 people. That's the highest level since 2018. Marriage rates dropped when COVID hit, and in 2020, there were only 1.6 million marriages nationwide. While numbers seem to have recovered from the pandemic, the last two decades have seen an overall downward trend in marriage rates. I'm Mark Mayfield.
You know, we get this total solar eclipse on April 8th, and there's parts of New York where you'll get a fantastic view. Apparently, the best view is up in Buffalo, and so they're waiting for some serious tourism around the total solar eclipse. Meanwhile, Governor Hochul is launching the statewide effort to protect your eyes ahead of the total solar eclipse.
To protect viewers' eyes, the state will distribute limited edition eclipse glasses at 30 locales statewide, including along the thruway. Meantime, the governor's also urging everyone to be wary of scams, fake merchandise, and phony accommodation listings. The eclipse, which is being called a once-in-a-generation experience for New York, will encompass western and northern New York State, with a roughly 100-mile-wide path of totality entering the southwestern part of the state just after 3:15 p.m. and departing northern New York just before 3:30. Liz Warner, NBC News Radio, New York.
There's a new lawsuit accusing Mayor Adams of sexual assault. The accuser claims Adam exposed himself to her and demanded she perform oral sex on him in exchange for help with a job issue back in 1993 when they both worked for the city's transit police department. The accuser says when she refused, Adams forced her hand into his exposed area. This is the same accuser that first came forward a few months ago, filing a notice of claim that she had planned on suing, and now she has. Back then, when she served that notice, Mayor Adams said he had no idea who this woman was.
The accusation absolutely did not happen. I don't even recall who this person is. I've never recalled even meeting them. And, you know, I spent my life protecting people.
Well, I'm no doubt have those questions for the mayor when he holds his weekly press conference where he allows questions from reporters at City Hall a little bit later this morning. Celine Dion says she's determined to get back on stage despite her recent medical diagnosis.
The singer is currently battling a rare autoimmune disorder known as stiff person syndrome. Over the weekend, she posted a photo of herself and her three sons, saying although her battle with SPS is difficult, she's set on returning to the stage and to live as normal a life as possible. She thanked her family, friends, and fans for all their support and also sent encouragement to others that are fighting the same disease. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Some of music's biggest names going to pay tribute to the late Jimmy Buffett in Los Angeles next month.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville.
Paul McCartney, the Eagles will headline Keep the Party Going, a tribute to Jimmy Buffett on April 11th at the Hollywood Bowl. Other performers include Eric Church, Brandi Carlile, John Bon Jovi, and Kenny Chesney. The late Toby Keith will headline this year's Country Music Hall of Fame induction class. Keith's election became official just days before he died on February 5th. The CEO of the Country Music Association says voting ended February 2nd, meaning Keith's induction avoided the rule of not voting in someone in the year after they died. Keith, of course, passed away following a battle with stomach cancer. Fans of Tony Orlando are going to have one last chance to see him gather around the old oak tree.
The soon-to-be 80-year-old singer announced his show on Friday, March 22nd at the Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, Connecticut, will be his final live performance. Orlando emphasized, however, he's not retiring from show business. He said he has reinvented himself many times, and now he wants to flex his creative muscles writing. Tony Orlando and Don were one of the most popular acts in the early 70s with several huge hits and their own primetime TV show. I'm Michael Kastner.
It may be his final concert, but of course you can hear him Saturday nights with Tony Orlando right here on 77 WABC or anytime at WABCradio.com or through the app. The opening bell, it rings this morning after stocks closed higher on Monday. This comes as investors look ahead to the Federal Reserve's two-day policy meeting that kicks off today. The Fed widely expected to leave rates unchanged. At Monday's closing bell, the Dow gained 75 points, S&P 500 rose 32. NASDAQ gained 130 points. Coming up today, we'll get word on housing starts and building permits.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
talking the news with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that is me, 532. Good morning. It is Tuesday, March 19th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Sunshine this morning, some clouds this afternoon, high 47. Tonight and overnight, clouds. cloudy, low 41. And then Wednesday, a little warmer, sun and clouds, high 57. If you're walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are, 34 and partly cloudy in Valley Cottage up in Rockland County. It's 32 and clear in Cranberry down in New Jersey. And it's 35, a few clouds outside our Midtown studios. We'll start this half hour out on Long Island where it seems everything strange happens, right? I mean, how many bizarre stories out of Long Island? This one we'll add to the list because we just don't know what's going on. Apparently, a man in one of those orange vests who looks like a utility worker has been showing up on some front lawns in North Babylon with a metal detector and a shovel, and he's been digging up parts of lawns and then putting everything back together. Now, what he's after, nobody seems to know. The utility companies say, no, they don't have anybody with a metal detector and digging up things, so they don't know what's going on. Alexandra Hernandez, her lawn was one of the lawns on Deer Lake Drive that was dug up. She spoke to News 12.
Why are you coming here and destroying our property? I received a phone call from my tenant. He was telling me that there was a man digging in my property.
Yeah, and it didn't seem like this guy was walking away with anything. So you think metal detector, maybe he's looking for money or something that he'd maybe buried and now he's going back to collect it. We just don't know. So she spoke with some neighbors talking about how bizarre this moment was. And then one of her neighbors said, oh, wait a minute. That happened to me, too.
At first, I thought maybe it was a utility company, but I did contact SCWA, National Grid, PSEG. None of them had any work going on at my address nor in this area.
So we reached out to Suffolk County Police, and they say, I don't know what's going on. They're looking for this guy. They haven't found him. Meanwhile, some people in this neighborhood have put no trespassing signs on their lawn, hoping they'll keep this guy, whoever he is, away.
My first fear was hitting a gas line. The second concern was I have an irrigation system.
I cannot even believe that someone had the nerve to come with a metal detector and a shovel and pretend he's a utility worker and going into people's property.
Yeah, how strange. So what is he looking for? I don't, somehow we'll piece the story together, but right now we have no idea. Boy, NYPD cops, I mean, I don't have to tell you how you brave NYPD cops are, but they proved it really last night in East Flatbush, Brooklyn. They get a call about a man who is running down East 57th Street and Remsen Avenue. This is about 6 o'clock last night. And apparently he's chasing two people and he's firing shots at them. So there's four officers who are in an unmarked car who are in the neighborhood who race over to see what's going on. And sure enough, they see this guy. And sure enough, he is firing shots at two people as they run down the street, a man and a woman. So these officers get out of the car and take this guy on head on and they shoot him.
Our officers jump out quickly and they take care of the threat. The male we shot numerous times. He's pronounced dead at Kings County Hospital.
Yeah, so they took him down. Now, what he wanted from these two people, that part of the story is not clear. But no doubt he saved those two people. Now, as they were firing shots, either the gunman or the police officers did hit somebody who had nothing to do with this incident. That person's going to be okay.
Tonight, you see New York City police officers running towards danger, running in the middle of gunfire, stopping the threat, and saving two people's lives.
Now, so we know the person that they shot dead is 20 years old. Don't know a whole lot more about him. The innocent bystander who was hit by bullets, he's a 60-year-old. He is expected to recover. There were a fair amount of eyewitnesses because it was a nice night, 6 o'clock. These people were on the roof of their building, and they shot footage of it all.
We kept going because we thought it was firecrackers.
Yeah.
And then we realized it was serious.
What I didn't know if I should be concerned. Like, should I keep going and shoot my video or get off the roof? Things happening every single day. I'm pretty much, like, numb to it.
Police telling us that the gunman, who they have yet to identify to us, has no prior arrests. Investigators are working on a motive why he was chasing these two people with a gun. WABC News Time 539. Let's go up to the Bronx. Police searching for a man who's robbed the same deli three separate times. And that's pretty bold. A 41-year-old bodega employee in this deli in Morsanya section of the Bronx says he was there for some of these robberies. One of them took place January 13th, second one February 21st, and then again just last week. Surveillance video shows this man hopping through a window at the counter of the store, reaching over with one hand and beginning rummaging through the cash register, pulling out bills. He sprints out of the store. The worker says that in one of the incidents, this wanted man sliced his hand. In all three robberies, this guy is armed with a gun. So, of course, nobody wanted to fight back, and who can blame them? Fernando Mateo is head of the United Bodegas of America, and he says this kind of thing, three robberies at the same bodega, happens more often than you might think.
It's a very sad situation because it's not something that we want to get used to. And it occurs and it happens every single day.
He says part of the problem is these people who rob over and over again, even if they do get caught, they don't get a whole lot of punishment.
If you know that you can break into my bodega, rob me today, and get a desk appearance ticket, and you get away with $5,000 or $10,000, you know what? You're going to do it again and again and again.
Governor Hochul's 2025 state budget includes about $45 million to combat shoplifting, retail theft, including a specialized state police unit and more funding for district attorneys and local police, among other safety improvements. But you have a lot of these store owners saying, wait a minute, how about just changing bail reform so people who commit this crime over and over again aren't let out from behind bars. MTA officials yesterday trying to make their case that public transit is safe in spite of all of the recent violent attacks. And boy, I could go on and on with how many violent attacks there have been just since January. They had gathered yesterday to mark National Transit Employee Appreciation Day. But as you might guess, it didn't take long for reporters to start changing the subject to subway safety.
If you focus strictly on statistics, the subway is a safe place. But when you have high-profile crimes, the riders say, we want to see cops. And that's what we're giving them.
MTA Chair and CEO Jan Oliber there responding to a question over how people can alter their perception of fear. He says crime last week compared to the same period in 2023 was down 28%. But of course, last week was when that shooting took place aboard that A train in Brooklyn. And that's all anybody will remember likely from last week.
Crime last week. Again, we had a terrible, terrible event last week. But the statistics are still important. Crime last week compared to the week in 2023, the equivalent week in 2023, was down 28%.
And no doubt, because it was Transit Employee Appreciation Day, there's a lot of great people who do work for the MTA. One of them is conductor Courtney Williams, who says, yeah, the job has become kind of dangerous.
Well, to start off with, if I think about every incident that takes place, I'll stay home. I was hired to be a conductor. I go out every day. Your job could be just as dangerous as my job, which everybody's job is dangerous. You don't know who you'll run into.
Yeah, that job seems a whole lot more dangerous, at least than my job. In the case of the conductor, you had that one conductor just last week who was leaning out his window as the train was pulling out of a subway station in Brooklyn and someone sliced him across the neck. Well, I guess that was 2 weeks ago. Thank God he's okay. But even those guys are attacked. And as the NYPD doubles down on fare evasion, riders say they are noticing that there are more cops in the subway. You have those National Guard members, state police, they also notice that they're arresting more people or cuffing more people who jump the turnstile.
A lot of people that beat the fares have warrants and other stuff. I mean, I see it all the time. A guy's jumping and a cop stops him, wanted for murder. How do you beat a fare when, you know, you're wanted for something?
There is a lot to this theory that people who will jump a turnstile are more likely to commit worse crimes once they get on a subway. And riders say, yeah, you should stop these people.
That can be, but even those who pay their fares, you never know who's who.
That's
you could
true.
See someone in a suit, and it could be that person. So it could be anything at this point, anyone.
Yeah, more likely than not, though, it's someone who is jumping the turnstile. And riders say they're glad that they're stopping those people.
Like, them skipping the fare is not posing a danger to me in itself. It's possible that those are also the people who are doing violent crime because they just don't care about rules.
The mayor should be riding in the subway so he could see what's going on. The people who report back to him and they let him know what's going on, they're not telling him the truth.
Yeah, and then this is what the NYPD continues to complain about, and so do regular New Yorkers for that matter. Even when they do capture these people who jump the turnstile tons of times, commit crimes, Yeah, the laxed bail reform laws let them off the hook. And a lot of times, in some cases, you had these police officers talking about the fact that these people were back out on the street, sometimes not just a day later, but hours later after committing all kinds of crimes down below on the subways. And that, of course, is leading to what you hear from those riders who are saying things just don't feel safe down below on the subways. All right, 5:45. Let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Ellick.
Thank you, Noah Maladen. Starting with the NBA in Golden State last night with Jalen Brunson. Scored 34 points and Miles McBride added a career-high 29 to lead the New York Knicks to their fourth straight win, 119-112 over the Warriors. The Knicks raced out to an 18-4 lead early in the game and never trailed as they earned just their fifth win in their last 19 meetings against Golden State. Josh Hart had 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists for his fifth triple-double in the past 21 games for New York while playing all 48 minutes. Also, Dante DiVincenzo added 18 for the Knicks. New York was at forward OG Anunoby, who flew home after his surgically repaired right elbow flared up. Head coach Tom Thibodeau said an MRI came back clean, and then Anunoby is day-to-day. Thibodeau also said Anunoby is unlikely to rejoin the team for the final game of a four-game trip on Thursday at Denver. Looking ahead to hardwood action tonight, the Nets are back at it, getting set to host the New Orleans Pelicans for a 7:30 p.m. tip-off. In college hoops, first four action is set to ease us nicely into March Madness. 16 seeds Wagner and Howard. Howard's a 3.5-point favorite there. We'll meet each other tonight at 6:40 p.m. before 10 seeds Colorado State and Virginia butt heads at 9:10 p.m. Colorado State, they're 2.5-point favorites. No action to get to from last night, but we do have a triple header to look forward to on the ice tonight at 7 p.m. The Rangers will host the Winnipeg Jets while the Devils simultaneously welcome in the Pittsburgh Penguins, all before the Islanders drop a 7:30 puck at home against the Carolina Hurricanes. Quickly to the MLB, where reigning National League Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell's prolonged free agency has officially ended. Snell agreed to a two-year, $62 million deal with the San Francisco Giants yesterday, 10 days before his new team opens its regular season against his former one, the San Diego Padres. Deal includes an opt-out after the first season. And finally, out of the NFL, defensive end Chase Young has signed a one-year, fully guaranteed $13 million deal with the New Orleans Saints, sources revealed yesterday. That's your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
All right, let's catch you up on some of the big stories of the morning. Transgender activist, Olympic gold medalist Caitlyn Jenner was in Nassau County yesterday to support this ban on male-born athletes taking part in all-women's sports. Caitlyn Jenner says Nassau County's ban is all about protecting women's sports for generations to come.
My fear is that if this woke agenda that's out there, you know, the DEI world that's out there, if this continues, it'll ruin women's sports over the next 10, 20 years. Let's stop it now while we can.
Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman's executive order bans transgender athletes who are born male from competing on all-girls teams. Now, they can compete in co-ed teams or against male teams, just not in all-female sports. And that's why Jenner says she felt the need to come to Nassau County to support Bruce Blakeman. This is the first-of-its-kind ban in the nation.
If the left wants to fight this battle on this hill, it's a losing battle. This is an 80-20 issue. 80% of the people out there do not want biological boys in women's sports. It's only 20%. I don't even know who they are.
Now, there is some blowback. Attorney General Letitia James has issued a cease and desist order over the ban. She says it's illegal to discriminate against a person based on their sex or gender identity. So do the Roller Rebels, which is a Long Island roller derby league. They're at the center of this lawsuit that claims the transgender athlete ban violates New York's anti-discrimination law. Amanda Arena, she's a blocker for the team. And, well, here's what she had to say.
We all, I think, really feel like this brings so much more fulfillment to our lives. When I started, I was actually like in my 20s and I had a really tough time, and derby, like, it saved my life. I'm in my 30s now, and that was something that I didn't necessarily see happening.
Now, they say a member of their team is transgender. They didn't say who it was, but they say that might cause complications if they want to play against all female teams in roller derby.
We immediately tried to like take action and, you know, make sure that person felt like comforted. I just want to skate with people. You know, we will not grow as a league if we're limiting who we can bring on. The world can be really scary. You should feel safe in sports.
The Roller Rebels' first game of the season is April 27th. The lawsuit is now before a judge. The ban does not apply to men's teams with transgender athletes. New York City is going to get some federal money for electric school buses and a new charging depot. Mayor Adams announcing that $77 million federal dollars will pay for about 180 new electric school buses.
It's going to keep our children safe in and around our school buses and help ensure that every single New Yorker has clean air to breathe.
Adams administration's goal is to have an entirely zero-emission school bus fleet by 2035.
This grant will allow us to put more electric vehicles on our streets and take thousands of pounds of CO2 out of our air.
The grant money also going to pay for electric vehicle truck charging depot at Hunts Point Food Distribution Center up in the Bronx to charge more than 7,000 vehicles a year. Effie's Cafe, it's an Israeli restaurant on the Upper West Side, filled with longtime customers, some politicians, community leaders yesterday in a show of unity after the restaurant was targeted by vandals. Vandals spray painted two messages in green on the sidewalk outside the Luncheonette on West 96th Street near Columbus over the weekend. The words Free Gaza and Form Line Here to Support Genocide were outside the restaurant. And some of the people who work at the restaurant, they say it was all a little frightening for them.
Devastated for the restaurant, devastated for our community, for our people.
I am scared. It was my first time seeing a vandalism attack like that. It has never happened in me.
Manager Ben Zara said she was shocked when she got to work Sunday morning and saw the front of the restaurant covered in red paint. But she says she was happy to see so many people come out to support the restaurant over the last 24 hours.
We've been getting overwhelming support since 7 a.m. this morning. It's nonstop. And they said it's going to be like this since for the whole week, you know. And I'm so glad. I'm grateful.
So far, police say they do not know who is behind the vandalism. Out to Bergen County, kids in one Bergen County school district lucked out this year with two unused snow days. But now there's controversy about how to use these snow days. It's the Glen Rock School Board. They had a meeting last night. What they wanted to do was add 2 days, one to the spring break and one to Memorial Day weekend. But some Jewish parents speaking out saying that maybe they should make those 2 days the Passover holiday, so Jewish kids don't have to take days off.
I think we have a variety of individuals in town, some of whom are religious and others who may not be, and we have to account for everyone who is observant.
So Passover, I guess, is not one of the observed holidays on the district school's calendar. Of course, this has become a huge issue no matter what school district you're in, of what holidays to celebrate, which ones not to, and then it just makes the day or the year incredibly long. Here in New York City, students go till the end of June. That's not the case in Glen Rock, and doesn't seem like too many people are pushing back against this idea, but this was the course of the meeting last night.
It is a very special holiday for us, and in observing it, those 2 days are critical, especially when it comes to being with your families.
In East Brunswick, a group of Muslim parents last year urged the district to designate Eid al-Fitr, the Muslim holiday that marks the end of Ramadan. So that's why you have these Jewish parents speaking out in Glen Rock.
Actually, we're hoping that the children who are going to be observing Passover will be excused, actually. So we're going to ask for an excusal of the children who can't attend and who will be observing Passover for those 2 days.
Yeah,
and that will be the 22nd and the 23rd of April.
Yeah, that's kind of what makes sense to me. But when I was a kid, I was, you know, one of a handful of Jewish kids in the entire school district. And so I just took off for the Jewish holidays, and it was an excused absence. But there's this big debate goes on about which holidays that should be spent. They've gotten rid of Columbus Day. That's caused a lot of controversy. They've added other holidays. Anyway, the same thing going on in Glen Rock. I don't know if they came to a final decision last night. We have not gotten word from them. A family in New Jersey has been reunited with their dog, who's lucky to be alive. On Friday, Guinness made a run for it and then got hit by a car and then went missing in some nearby woods. And you can imagine the owners of Guinness were completely freaked out because they knew she was hurt and they also knew she was on the run.
I stopped breathing. Like, I couldn't catch my breath. And I started screaming, and they had to calm me down. Knowing that he's out there hurting because he got hit by the car, or hungry, cold, because it did get cold at night.
So they searched for 24 hours, could not find Guinness. But someone told them about this nonprofit. It's called UAAR. It's a drone team which specializes in finding missing people and pets, among other things. Michael Periazel is the founder of this group. And so he put his drones up into the air. And, yeah, they found Guinness. How cool is that?
I had to find the dog because she kept crying and my arm was getting soaked. So, I said, I got to find this dog for them. Oh, wait. I got him. That's your dog.
Yeah, and sure enough, there from the sky, they spotted Guinness under a tree. Thanks to the drone technology and to Michael, Guinness is okay. He needs a little work on his hind leg, but he's going to be all right.
He knew it was us, but he was scared.
Yeah.
As soon as he saw me and I approached him, I'm like...
Yeah, who would have even thought to go to a drone organization? That's brilliant, though, and good job done by the USAR finding Guinness.